My name is Marcella. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. Hi. I'm celebrating a little over 1 year victory over nicotine addiction. Thank you. Been struggling with a little bit of control stuff, but we're going to talk tonight about victory. I'm going to focus on that. So tonight's lesson is about victory. And the first thing we're going to do is just read the principle and the steps that we're going to be working with. And the principle, as you'll see on your sheet, is principle 5. And there it is. So let's go ahead and read this part together. Voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. And there's a verse that goes with it. And that's, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Matthew 5, 6. And then step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove our character defects. And the verse is, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. James 4:10. And then we're doing 2 steps. So step 7 is, we humbly asked him to remove all our shortcomings. And the last verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Okay. The read-along. I think I was might have been stumbling there a little. So here we go, you guys. We're going to be talking about victory, and that is the victory over character defects. And it's a victory that comes through God's grace. When we think of experiencing victory, we usually hear things like it was a hard-won victory, or it was hard-fought and they were victorious. We use it in terms of conquering another team or an enemy or a foe. We associate it with fighting and violence and destruction a lot in our everyday speech. And, it's the idea that we alone would be left standing on the field of battle or the field of play, victorious. But here we are in God's house. We're seeking healing. We're looking for a salve for our wounds, seeking victory over hurts, habits, and hang-ups that in many cases have nearly destroyed us, maybe literally or figuratively. So I say this, friends, we could use a new view of how to overcome character defects. God's victory is a victory through surrender. I know, that's right. I mean surrender, as in, here's my prop, wave the white flag, right? So I know it's a juxtaposition to consider that that would be the way to be victorious in your life. But to fight and struggle is man's way. But God's way is gentle and kind and compassionate and loving. My favorite verse says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that a wonderful gift? Our God, the author and the finisher, he who conquered death, says of himself that he is gentle and humble in heart, and that should tell us something. We are saved by God's grace, and that grace came through Jesus laying his life down, putting up his white flag. He literally surrendered his life. He put his perfect trust in God our Father and attained victory. And he showed us the way. We don't need to be striving and struggling and fighting. We just need to surrender to receive God's victory in our life. And the first step that we're going to take to get to that is to voluntarily submit. So you'll see on your sheet that we've got another trusty acrostic, and that's what we're going to work with tonight. And the V is voluntarily submit. So I quit smoking, and I smoked for 20 years. And in order to quit smoking, I had to willingly and voluntarily submit myself to God's will for my life. I literally had to surrender my cigarettes to him. And I had tried so many times on my own. I had even tried a couple of times while working my program right here at CR, even while I was during my step study. But, I just couldn't stick with quitting at that time. And what I realized is that I hadn't really submitted. I had got up the courage to quit for a bit, but I wasn't really leaning on God. I was sort of leaning like a little bit of one arm on the table, sort of just in case he decided to move out of the way. I had my backup plan ready, and that was my own arm hanging on there. And so I wasn't really leaning. And to use a football example, it was like I thought that he would throw me a pass, and after I caught it, I had to just go ahead and execute the whole play on my own. Just run down the field, face all those foes. It was like he was saying to me, okay, you know, here you go, and I'm trusting you, Marcella, to have a touchdown in life. You know, I'm trusting you to have your own victory over those cigarettes. So that's what I thought. And so guess what? I failed. I failed myself time and time again. And it was because I really wasn't trusting God to carry me through. I was only trusting him to get me started, right? We're great at getting to the starting line. I am great at getting to the starting line. But that's the difference between being ready and being entirely ready, right? There's, you know, entirely is an important word in our step, and that's because when I became entirely ready to give over my addiction and receive God's victory, I began to trust him with the entire play, not just the initial pass. And I sought his guidance every step of the way, and it completely transformed my results. In his word, it says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I love that, you know, it's the inward part, it's that kind and gentle. You know, it doesn't have to be a fight. Let it just get on the inside of you. So the next letter in the acrostic and the next step for us here is identifying our character defects. And that's the I. And here we are. We're at, you know, the halfway mark on our journey through the 12 steps. We've finished our moral inventories. We've admitted our shortcomings to ourselves, to God, and to someone we trust. And so identifying our character defects is probably pretty easy at this point. Even if you're new, even if tonight is your first night, think about what brought you here, whatever it is in your life that's causing you pain. And if you're still unsure, just ask God. I bet if you pray and ask God to show you in the morning what he would have you work on, by the end of the day, he will have shown you something. For me, maybe 3, 4, 5 somethings. But don't get caught up in control here. Remember, the victory comes through surrender. So your best bet is to ask God what he would have you work on first. I made the mistake of deciding for myself what I thought needed the most attention in my life just this past year. I was experiencing some issues in parenting. I have 4 small children, and I wanted God to heal me of having a critical spirit with my children. I grew up in an environment of perfectionism, and I've been struggling with having a critical spirit, and I really wanted to work on it. And so I began to work hard. I was efforting to no avail. I felt frustrated. I was not experiencing a shift, and I prayed for God to show me what I was doing wrong. And his answer surprised me. He completely and dramatically shifted my attention from my parenting issues to my marriage. He showed me that I needed to take a look at the way I was approaching my marriage. And I wasn't looking at that at all. I didn't know if I really wanted to be looking at that, and I certainly wasn't looking at it, and that actually was part of the problem. So I had gotten into some bad habits, and once the problem was illuminated, I realized God's divine wisdom in directing my attention to it. And after a while, it resolved some of the parenting stuff. Also, as soon as I put my effort into healing the broken parts of my relationship, I started to see results. Our efforts paid off quicker and with less frustration than I had felt before. I was beginning to have a breakthrough, not only in my marriage, but in my relationship with God. My trust had been growing throughout the step study process and as I moved into leadership and started to give back. But this last part, this last event, really solidified my take it to God first approach. I used to love this show called The West Wing. Maybe you guys have heard of that show. And in it, I thought it was so amusing that they all said they serve at the pleasure of the president. And I, over the last year, have developed this way of thinking about it. And I say to myself, I serve at the pleasure of the king. I serve at the pleasure of the king. And now I just go get my marching orders. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier than working it with my own level of control. There's much more peace in my life since I started to do that. And frankly, there's a divine ease surrounding the things that I do when I'm following my marching orders. And I highly recommend it. So in Proverbs 16:9, it says, "In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." We do it together. So it's great to identify things. You'll want to do that work. But when it comes time to moving forward, let the Lord determine your steps. Take some pressure off yourself because he's willing to come up alongside of us. So we're going to move into the C in our acrostic, and that is change your mind. Change your mind. So this one might seem obvious. Change your mind. Of course, if we want to have different results, we're going to have to change our mind. It's like the last teaching was, we're going to change directions. We're either going to go back where we've been, in that example it was in Salem, or we're going to head to what we're looking forward to having in our lives up in Seattle. And but I think, having said that, in order to have victory, we need to change our minds about being defective. Now, I don't mean that we don't have character defects, but think about it. Have you ever said this? Well, that's just the way I am. That's just who I am. I'm just always been jealous. That's just who I am. I've just always had a hard time saying no to myself. And that's just who I am. And, have you guys, anybody said that about themselves? Right? So I say, you need to change your mind about that. You are not defective. That's not who you are. God did not make a bunch of defective souls just walking around bumping into each other with all our defects, all kind of wonky with one wheel missing. We learned that stuff, right? We learned defective, broken ways from imperfect human beings doing imperfect stuff all around us during our formative years, right up to today, till we just got in here. We just have imperfection around us. And that does not mean that the screwed up crap that we learned along the bumpy road of life is who we are. So stop saying it to yourself. That's right. To yourself, to others. Stop buying into your smallness and your brokenness. Change your mind about that. Get that out of your mind about who you are. And if you're an accountability partner, stop buying into the limitations people are trying to sell you. Don't buy every sob story that comes to your doorstep. Supporting someone does not mean buying into their brokenness or agreeing to their limitations. Oh, yeah, well, I know that's hard. Having self-control is hard. A few more cigarettes probably won't kill you. That's not the way we want to support each other into having victory. We want to take a stand for ourselves. Take a stand for yourself. Take a stand for others. See your divinity. Claim that. That's just the way I am, child of God. That's just the way I am, truth teller, healer, loving parent. That's just who I am, devoted wife. Right? If you're going to make an I am statement, and I love that song that we sang in the last song of the worship, right? I am is a powerful, powerful two-word combination. And if you're going to make an I am statement, choose something positive. I am a joyful, powerful, passionate leader. Whoever you are, make a statement for yourself about that. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform yourselves to these standards of the world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God and what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect." To transform something means to change its condition or nature or function or identity. God wants to change more than just our behaviors. He wants to change the way we think to help us develop new and healthy ways of thinking that we can be more and more in alignment with Him and His will for our lives. So give up those limitations. Okay, so next thing we want to do, once we've changed our mind about who we are, we're going to turn over our defects of character. So we're not going to own them and be weighed down by them and wear them like a backpack of shame. We're going to throw that off. We're going to claim who we are in God, but we're still going to be honest and turn those over. And as I've worked this program to overcome my addiction and other character defects, I've gotten caught in a trap so many of us fall into. It has to do a lot with being right. Like, who likes to be right? You know? We love it as human beings. And we think that we're a mess. You know, we might come in, oh, man, I'm a hot mess, saying it kind of quiet to yourself. But when we really see what needs to be done, sometimes if you're like me, you might want to just make Custer's last stand and just hold on to a little bit of something, right? Maybe just don't want to give it all up so easy. And I would tell myself for quitting smoking, I just need to gear up for it. It's going to be really hard. I just need to pump myself up. And there sneaked into my thinking was my own little bit of control. I was going to gear myself up, right? I'm going to hang on to some control there. Joyce Meyer calls it an independent attitude. And you know, I recognize it from years as a preschool teacher. Sounds like this. I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. Who's got preschoolers? I do it myself. I do it myself. I do it myself. Meanwhile, our shoelaces are tied together, our pants are on backwards. You know, we got problems. So surrender, just surrender and give that up. Right? Tripping on those shoelaces. Give it over to God. He wants to help us. He wants to help us. Humble yourselves and give up the fight. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up, James 4:10. He will lift you up. Turn it over. And over and over and over. You know, if you're me 20 years, turn it over for 20 years till it sticks. As many times as it takes. That was the single most impactful change and made the biggest difference in my success after many attempts to give up smoking. When I had a craving, I started to immediately turn it over to God. I did it over and over and over. I finally had humbled myself enough to say, I need help. Stop trying to do it on my own. And when I did that, He never let me down, not once, not once. When I wanted to smoke and I cried out, help me, God, take this craving away. I want to be free. I hung on to that this time. I want to be free. I want to be free. Just give me ease. He would every time, every time. Took a few minutes. I have to just, you know, keep some space between me and the box of cigarettes to do it, you know. I still had to do my part. But man, there was just an ease that came over me, and I could get through that, shake it off, and move forward, one day at a time. That's our next one. The one. Zero. The O is for one. Day at a time. Matthew 6:34 says, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. We didn't develop our character defects overnight, so we can't possibly expect them to be resolved overnight. Not that God couldn't and doesn't occasionally do that. We've heard those stories. But that is not the way it usually happens. And I think there's got to be a reason for that, right? There's got to be a reason for that. And there's a lot to be learned on the journey. And we would lose a lot if we couldn't have that day, one day at a time journey moving forward. Taking one day at a time keeps us also from being overwhelmed. There's a lot to be gained from the process. Cannot get my, there we go. And the R in the acrostic is for recovery is a process. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure that God who began a good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in His grace until His task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. Notice it doesn't say 2 weeks from Tuesday. Right? You know, we're just going to keep going along the process. I was, nobody was more disappointed than me that I wasn't totally fixed when step study was over. It's like, what gives, guys? Oh, you know, come on. But I just kept coming back. And I had a friend of mine recently say to me, you still doing that self-recovery thing? Like, you know, how long are you going to be at that? Isn't that over? And I was like, I'm a lifer, people. I have a life. I turned it over to God, and I'm just a lifer now. I'm going to just keep working that process because there's value in it every day. So the process, it's not a factory automated process, right? It's kind of a messy, organic, kind of a, you know, dig your hands in the dirt sort of process. We all wish that we could grow and change and have that go just marching on forward in a steady upward trajectory. But it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes we take two steps forward and one step back. And that's when we really see the value of coming together as a group, like we do right here. What we would lose out if everything was changed in an instant is the fellowship and the support and the love that's built through overcoming pain together. You know, where my life would be so much less rich without my sisters. You know, it would have really been a ripoff, you know. I look back at it now. I wished it would have been easier then, but now I look back and I say, wow, my life is rich. And some things have been able to grow up in place of some of the things I gave up. So God has bloomed some new and beautiful things in my life. And that can happen for you too. You know, we lift each other up and when we're dealing with stuff we thought we'd handled. And that's when, you know, we can remind each other of how far we've come together. That's a great moment when somebody who's seen you here for a month or 6 months or 6 years or whatever, when you're feeling downtrodden and, oh, you know, somebody can come up and say, you know, I just want to tell you, you've come so far. It's just so thrilling to see the changes you've made. It can really, really bolster your spirit. It's really bolstered mine. So I just say trust the process. Keep coming back, working the steps. And finally, to the last letter in our acrostic, the why. In victory, you must choose to change. And the key word in that phrase is you. God gives strength to the humble, says James 4:6. So give yourselves humbly to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. What a beautiful promise. You must choose freely for yourself. You cannot successfully have recovery and truly experience God's victory over your hurts, habits, and hang-ups if you're doing this work to win someone else's approval or to appease someone else. You can get here that way, and you know, welcome. We take all comers. There are many of us who came at the behest of someone in their life who said, hey, I know about this thing. Or maybe they said, there's a free dinner, just come on. Whatever. But you know, it doesn't matter what brought you here, but if you really want to change at some point, you have to come to this work for yourself. Ultimately, you have free will, and you'll need to choose to change. You need to get yourself to the starting line. And when you surrender to God, victory is on its way. Victory is on its way. So people, get on Team God and start moving down the field. Just get on that team. Put up your white flag, surrender, and prepare for victory. Identify the change God wants you to make and go get your marching orders. Change your mind about who you are and claim who you were meant to be. Turn it over to God. Stop saying, I'll do it myself. Take it one day at a time and trust in the process. Finally, take your humble heart and your teachable spirit and decide for yourself that you are worth it and that you are entirely ready for God's victory. Thank you.